The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight!
Kevin Blue joins us. Hey, Kevin. Welcome back to the Footy Prime.
Yeah, I came on and I could hear what you were talking about in the background. It was a funny time to join the call.
It wasn't the greatest move by that guy, right? Don't you think? I mean,
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've heard people reference it, but I haven't seen it myself. I've been busy doing other stuff. But the
Have you? Are you enjoying this? Is it a long weekend? Where are you right now? Are you in?
I'm in our basement office. It's family day morning, which is great. And in Toronto for actually, I don't think I traveled this week, so this is a welcome sort of period of being at home.
So you can actually really enjoy this long weekend because all the work's been done, right? Now you can just cruise.
Yeah, we're done. See you guys in June when we start the tournament.
No other work to be done. Nothing else in the docket.
Yeah. No, we're full on and obviously making some progress last week was good, but there's still a tremendous amount of opportunity ahead of us, and we're full on. No rest here. We're gonna keep pedal to the floor.
I imagine the CBA is front and center right now as well, and there's been numerous reports that it was very close to being done, somewhat contingent on this deal being finalized. How close are we to getting this CBA finalized?
Yeah, we're in alignment. We the process of finalizing a CBA from a mechanics standpoint involves some specific steps that we're working to complete alongside the players' associations. So we're hopeful that will get formally completed very soon. And we've enjoyed. I for one have enjoyed my getting to know the players and getting to work with the players as partners. And I think this sort of step that we took, getting the CSME CSB situation resolved, then unlocks the ability to finish off formally the CBA, and I'm anticipating that will happen imminently.
Oh. What was the key to unlocking this deal finally? I mean, there's been numerous people working this deal over the years. We've talked about it so often, with yourself included, over the years. Was there something specific that finally pushed it, or was it the new energy that yourself and James brought to the table? How was it?
Oh, you know, I think this is a situation that has many, many layers to it. And I think that both parties understood that the status quo was not working. And I think both parties really, really needed and wanted to find a solution that was going to help move the relationship forward and more broadly move forward the commercial conditions for the sport writ large. And that is something that I think was a big motivating factor for us to work together to solve some problems and bridge some pretty significant gaps on a number of different issues. As you might imagine, it wasn't a linear path, and it took extraordinary work. There was several times where we were meeting for, you know, double digit hours consecutively, well into the night in person on a few different things. But that's the nature of how these negotiations sometimes go. And we were pleased to be able to get to a spot where we were able to move forward.
Was it a bit of give and take by both parties, really, Kevin? Was that really what the issues were?
Yeah, I mean, there's in these situations, each perspective has some of the things that are non-negotiable, and I think that the parties did a good job of trying to find common ground that each side could embrace and live with going forward. And in these negotiations, if either side comes out thinking there was a clean win, then it's probably not fair. And I think that what we ended up doing was getting to a spot where, in the common good, we're able to move forward. And there's still lots and lots of work to do and lots of opportunities to pursue. And still some structural things in the landscape of the sport that we need to continue to work on, but this was definitely a step in the right direction.
You mentioned, Kevin, working with the national team associations, the player associations, and partners. And I want to acknowledge, like, just in my little echo chamber and being an alumnus, that the national team, the women's team at least, speak very highly of working with you. The Northern Super League speaks really highly of working with you. So this deal, I think, for you to get it over the line, it's massive for the growth of the sport in this country. So congratulations on that. And then I just want to pivot a little bit. So the CPL obviously benefits from CSME and its relationship with Canada Soccer in this agreement. So how do we ensure, and I posed the same question to James, how do we ensure that the entirety of the women's soccer ecosystem and pyramid is strengthened and optimized by the same deal?
Yeah, I think, like, I've done a tremendous amount of reflection on this issue since I started, right? Like, there's the perspective of CSME's relationship with the CPL and profits that are derived from CSME based on the relationship with Canada Soccer being reinvested in the CPL. And, you know, the question of would this be how we would start it if we were starting from scratch again right now? Hard to answer that question definitively, to be honest. What I can say is that what we've been able to do in restructuring this deal is ensure that a greater percentage of the value that is coming from Canada Soccer's assets is retained by Canada Soccer for equitable investment in the national team systems, both in the men's and the women's side, along with obviously our grassroots programming priorities. I've also reflected upon the fact that CSME's portion of the value gets invested at their discretion. And if they decide that that goes into the CPL, then that's what they decide. And what is our responsibility as the governing body to ensure that, you know, the women's side of the professional game is supported in a like for like manner? It's something that, you know, I reflected on. I've spoken, you know, over many months with folks at the NSL, and I don't have a clean and clear answer to that question yet, in terms of the lines of responsibility and which parts of reinvestment are, you know, is the Federation directly responsible for. I think you guys are all aware that there was a funding agreement struck in 2017 or 2018, in which the CPL would receive $1 million a year investment from the Federation, and we replicated that for the NSL when the NSL started. And this was in the face of coming into the organization where we had a $4 million deficit to begin with. And, you know, we obviously are obligated to, from a, you know, right thing to do standpoint, to make sure that we're making sure that there's like for like support. So I understand the thinking on it, and I've thought about it, and we'll continue to reflect on it and have conversations in a productive way with the folks at the NSL on that issue.
Kev, thanks for joining us on Family Day or your family week. We really appreciate it. It's ours too. So we're all happy to be locked in basements and silence because I had my kids for the last 72 hours. There's that 3-year revisit. And one thing that's on a business level, I'm not the dumbest guy in the room, but I'm also not the smartest. Explain to me what this fair market assessment will look like, because I have no idea what variables. I can throw some darts and maybe hit a few, but what are those variables that your two teams, your two sides will be looking at to say, oh, this is a $100 million entity, this is a $60 million entity, or this is a $1 billion entity? Where does this fall, and who creates this basically checklist of variables to bring in?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think one of the side effects of us publishing the agreement essentially in its entirety is the fact that people have to wade through a bunch of sort of legal prose to unpack the whole thing. But the intent of the look-ins is to prevent what happened the last time, which is a deal was done under a set of assumptions, and then the landscape evolved rapidly and the deal was no longer fair. And so what this is intended to do is, on a regularly occurring basis, without a huge amount of time elapsing, ensure that when we do get to these look-in periods, there can be a re-examination of the economic terms to make sure that people on, you know, both both parties feel that this is a happy marriage and this is fair, which is the most productive way to proceed, right? So it's like, it's really hard to predict the future in our sport, given the growth rate in 5 years, let alone 10 years. And so what we've done here is built in a specific mechanic to allow for a rebaselining if that becomes necessary of the economic terms of the deal. So I think this is like a feature of the deal that both sides are counting on to make sure that we don't get out of alignment like occurred previously.
And that is a big win here, right? Is that this is a deal with foresight, in that as the game grows, your side will benefit with that revenue share. Can you just clarify for me? I mean, Wonga mentions he's not the smartest guy in the room, and I certainly am not. The 19.5 million we keep hearing being thrown around, that's not in addition to the revenue share. Is it one or the other?
No, it's in it. So there's, again, this is good that we're having these conversations because the unpacking of the whole thing is challenging. So
we're the general layman. So just
there's two and a half, let's call it 2.5 or 3 ways where Canada Soccer generates income from this. The first and primary way is the revenue share. And that's the revenue share where the first $10 million is split down the middle, and then an increasing share escalating to Canada Soccer, ultimately 70-30 for $22.5 million and above goes to Canada Soccer. So that's category one. Category two is if that revenue share itself does not exceed the minimum annual guarantees, and there's a top-up payment to reach the minimum annual guarantees, which again, the minimum annual guarantees are designed to be a backstop or a safety net. They're not intended to be primary compensation. So whether or not the minimum annual guarantees ever come into play is an open question. And then the third layer of compensation here is that either $19.5 million incremental payment over the course of the term in two installments, or a flipping of the revenue share to 70-30 from dollar one starting January 1st, 2029. And that's contingent on a few factors related to CSME that aren't necessarily suitable for full public disclosure at this time, but it's not really materially of the public interest. So those are the three ways that the deal is structured. And I want to make one sort of macro point about this, which is that if you think about the previous structure where there was flat compensation over many, many years, you guys obviously are smart enough to understand and know that as time goes on, costs go up, right? There's a compounding effect of costs to do business, whether that's fund grassroots programs or the national teams. And when you have flat revenue in the face of compounding increasing costs, your financial position actually gets worse year over year over year by the growth rate and costs, even if you do nothing. So that's the primary problem that we've solved here. I think a lot of there could be some perception, oh, well, you guys are talking about like hundreds of millions of dollars. Sure. It is over $100 million value, well over $100 million value to Canada Soccer. But that's in context of the previous situation where, there was flat commercial revenue while costs were compounding. And what this allows us to do is solve that problem so that we can, you know, maintain and grow to a degree our standard of living. But under the previous situation, as costs go up and revenue stays flat, that can only last for so long, right? Every year that goes by puts you more and more underwater. And so that is the primary thing that we've resolved with this agreement. It allows us to sustain financially, well out into the future. Whereas under the previous agreement, as years would have gone on, the compounding effect of that deal would have been increasingly damaging, and it would have put us under existential pressure.
That does make more sense now. Thank you. No, it does. I mean, to a certain degree, it does. I think optically that press conference on Friday was positive and refreshing. Dubs mentioned it, just seeing it's the early morning for me right now. CSME and Canada Soccer at the same table, smiling, shaking hands, looking all happy. Can you compare that to what you walked into when you first took on the job?
I think that, not to speak for James, but I think one thing we both have in common is that we weren't here during the initial formation of the process and during kind of the revelation about it that the country seemed to experience. So that creates a couple things. One, it creates like clear-headedness on our part, and I guess to speak for myself on my part, regarding like the actual financial and economic terms of the deal, right? Like you can look at it clearly without being affected by the emotion. But then it also creates a situation where you have to be sensitive to the emotion, right? You have to be sensitive to, okay, hold on a second here. Like this happened and then there was a reaction to it by a number of stakeholder groups, including the players. And then the media got a hold of certain information and the discourse included information that was both inaccurate and interpretations that were accurate and inaccurate. And all of that is in the milieu of like people's views and thoughts and how they were thinking about the whole situation. And having to try to compartmentalize like the emotional and controversial parts of it with the actual business terms and trying to figure out how to solve for it all. It was very, very challenging, but that's like what was required. And I think that we hopefully both did a decent job at doing that. Knowing that the whole landscape commercially will still continue to need to evolve. But as far as making a huge step here, in spite of coming in after the whole thing was done and learned about and sort of everyone had their emotions around it, I think we showed that we can productively work together to solve like a really, really difficult problem.
Kevin, Sharms mentioned the optics of just James sat next to you on the dais to announce this reworked agreement. How do you think corporate Canada now perceives Canada soccer? And you think we're well positioned to finally capitalize on the success of our men's and women's national teams?
Yes, I think that, as James mentioned, like we are both expecting an onrush of commercial activity here as a result of this alignment, and that's to everybody's benefit in the sense of, I'll speak for Canada's soccer's ecosystem. That's to everybody's benefit, whether it be the national teams, the national team players themselves, and the programs that we support. So this is highly positive. I think that. A few of the timing aspects of this are quite critical, right? Like this is the time in which there needs to be as much alignment as possible as the sort of once in a lifetime opportunity for there to be this kind of visibility brought on by the home co-hosted World Cup is there. So we are highly confident in the perception of corporate Canada as it relates to Canada soccer. We've obviously had to work our way through a number of things over the last several years that influenced people's perceptions of the organization. But I'm hopeful that as we get closer and closer to the World Cup, people, especially in corporate Canada, will understand what a tremendous opportunity it is to support the players and the national teams and the programming that we do to support Canada's most participated sport. And this alignment that we've achieved with CSME hopefully reinforces that.
When it comes to broadcast, and obviously the One Soccer issue sits there, you know, lurking, is in mediation now, as we hear. How involved are Canada Soccer in those conversations, those negotiations? I mean, it has to be frustrating. You want to get your teams out there in front of as many eyeballs as possible. They're close to some kind of agreement, it would appear. But I mean, are you in there in that room talking?
No, that's strictly a One Soccer / CSME issue that we're keen observers of, in the sense that like the bigger the platforms are for the national teams, the better it is for everybody. And we're pleased that the new agreement contains this type of commitment and requirement for there to be broad distribution of national team matches, you know, played at in Canada or Canada friendly time zones. And the process with the CRTC is outside of our direct involvement. Our position is, regardless of platform, we just want the national teams and the players to be seen by as many Canadians as possible, and we're eager for those steps to be taken here as we start to implement this deal.
I was going to. Oh, sorry, Sharms. Kevin, no, no, you. Yeah. What? Oh, you go ahead. No, I'll go.
No. I was about to wrap it up, but you go right ahead.
Oh, no, I had one. Kevin's had 2 years at Canada Soccer. You know, they have that old idiom, may we live in interesting times. You actually came in, dude, during the most interesting times. And I'm just wondering if you've had any time to reflect on your 2 years right now, because you've been thrown in. And look, not to, you know, we created Footy Prime as a kind of therapy, but also a step for us to create our own thing. Have you had time to reflect on the decision to come in as CEO of Canada Soccer with all of the tumult that you've been going through right now? And it's crazy the amount of kind of check marks you've had to have you had personal reflection time and career reflection?
Excellent question, Wonger. I haven't time around here these days. We've been sprinting, since I started March 14th, 2024. And so we are approaching 2 years, I guess, now that you speak of it that way. It does feel, honestly, like 10 years of events.
You look way older, dude.
You look great.
Thank you. I'll take Amy. I appreciate that comment. I'll ignore Waters. But it does feel like a lot has happened, but this is not sort of discrepant with my expectations. Like the opportunities in what we had in front of us when I started were immense, and I think we've been able to tap into a few of those things as we go, but there's still so much work to do, and that's kind of our focus as we approach the summer is the fact that, like, look, everybody at our organization understands the responsibility that we have right now and is fully embracing of it. Like the work ethic, the work rate, the amount of intensity is extraordinary. It's not sustainable. Like there's way too much intensity right now, but that's okay. Like your organization shouldn't be built to operate at equilibrium in this moment. Like it's not really a conventional period of time. So everybody is like extremely stretched and delirious, but happy and excited and understanding the responsibility that we have. So that's how I would think of it. I think that, like, looking back, I'm sure there'll be a time where, you know, I kind of reflect back on, you know, where the anchors were on many of these issues, whether it's this commercial agreement or the other, you know, the collective bargaining. There's been some extraordinarily off-kilter anchors that sort of characterized the previous situation. But that's not, like, we haven't really thought about that much. Our organization is thinking about, like, our responsibility to do the best we can for Canadian soccer right now. And in the next, you know, certainly this summer and then through the Women's World Cup and the Olympics that are happening in North America, like this is the period of time where in 10 years, people will look back on this period for Canadian soccer and sort of see the transformation that happened. And we totally get that. And we're embracing that responsibility. And that's where our energy is focused.
And I hope when they look back on it and they see your important role in it, that the photo they look at is you sporting a power vest. I'm so pleased you're wearing a vest this morning.
It's jacket season right now, but we're getting closer to vest season.
Very close.
So, I didn't know there was a vest season.
Invest in Canada Soccer.
That's right. Yeah. You're going to be... You're gonna get on board with our. We'll get you in front of some donors. You can
bring. One more for you, Kevin. One more for me. So, if the next announcement is going to be, you know, a CBA, hopefully in the coming weeks, will the next announcement after that be an extension for Jesse Marsh?
I don't know the answer to that question. It depends on what the announcement orders are here. But look, we're working on that situation. I'm not going to really comment extensively on the timing of it or the contractual permutations, et cetera. There's a bunch of things that are, still subject to us working through. But I, look, you guys know the relationship I have with Jesse is very positive, both from a personal and professional standpoint. Jesse really wants to be here. We really want Jesse here. been doing some other stuff in the last couple of weeks that have occupied a lot of my attention and time, but I'm sure we'll address that as we continue to move forward here and into what will be a really exciting time for everybody.
It certainly is. It's going to be a fantastic next few months. Thanks so much for joining us, Kevin, and congratulations in getting this thing done. And we'll talk to you, I'm sure, before the World Cup. But enjoy Family Day Monday.
Amazing. Appreciate you guys covering us. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Kevin.
See ya.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Interesting. They're going to sign Jesse Marsh, aren't they? Seems that way. In that post comments. Hey, Greg, I mean, we like Jesse. He likes us. We're working on things. To me, that seems like a deal is, if not imminent, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's all down to money.